All right. Happy New Year. Did John do okay last week? Yeah, that's what I heard. Good. Yeah. He's not here, so we can't have him. He's only preached it like three times. He's got the gift, isn't he? It makes me sick because I don't, and he does, you know, so. You know, I thought about this year, especially Deb and I were out of town, and it gave us a lot of thought. New Year's Eve, we visited a few people, but we spent it together alone on Laguna Beach. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to throw that in. And we really had time to talk and think, and I just want to ask this question. Wouldn't it be great to have a new start this year? You know, have you ever gone to a job and you start a brand new job and you think, now I'm going to start this brand new job and I'm going to be the best worker and I'm going to do all that kind of, you know, and then you kind of fall back into your trappings again? Well, wouldn't it be great to start this New Year's off in a more dynamic relationship with God, maybe, for some of you, actually serving God like you never have done before, by letting go of the past choices and counting them loss and moving forward. Here's what Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, and I think that's being able to serve. Forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Not too easy, is it? You know, we don't need to mull it over. We don't need to grind ourselves up and fill ourselves with regret and guilt until we paid the price. For negative motivating ourselves. And listen, what do you really want your new year to look like in 2015? You know, one of my favorite Christmas movies is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And I love the one with him in it. What's his name? Yeah, George C. Scott, thanks. It all of a sudden went out of my head. George C. Scott, and he plays Ebenezer Scrooge, and Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the ghost of the past, present, and future. And when he's in his past, he doesn't want to do this, and the angel takes him anyhow, and he goes back to a time when he's a young man. And one particular scene, he's dancing with this girl at this factory that he works at as an accountant, and Scrooge sees himself proposing to the woman he loves and gives her a kiss, and the woman later has to break off the engagement because she realizes that his God is really money, and that he doesn't have enough time to pay attention to her. And as Scrooge watches this scene unfold, you can imagine what's going through his mind because you can see the pain in his face. And if he verbalized it out loud, but at that point he wasn't kind of verbalizing out loud, he'd been able to say, what a fool I've been. What a fool I was. How my life would have been different if I had a married and if I hadn't been consumed by the almighty pound. It was English, okay. So consider this for a moment. How would you like to be visited by your ghost of the past? Relive your sins and your mistakes and your foolish choices that have changed your life. And yet, as I think about it, we really don't need that visit from Charles Dickens' spirit because we do it to ourselves, don't we? I mean, we replay the past, seeing it again and again in the screen of our mind. And don't you sometimes wish you could go back and talk to yourself and in those key moments and warn yourself, don't say that, don't do that, and be able to tell yourself, look, this is what's going to happen if you do that. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Hindsight. And we've all experienced the regret and guilt over the past, and it takes a lot of forms. Regret in broken relationships of all kinds. Regret over mistakes, maybe even regret over how you raised your kids. Regret over bad career moves or poor decisions and that have created tremendous consequences in your life. Regret at not following God's call to the ministry. Maybe a missionary or pastor or youth leader or just serving Jesus Christ in your own committed way. And you know, sorrow over sin and even suffering of the consequences can be healthy to a point. But living in regret is anything but helpful. It's destructive and it's draining, and it allows the sins and mistakes of the past to reach out and poison our present. And if it's not handled properly, it will lead to more wrong choices and more regret in a vicious cycle. Have you ever found that true in your life? Paul says this to the Corinthians. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. And this word repentance means a change of mind and behavior. For you were made sorry, you were grieved in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces what? Repentance, leading to salvation. And salvation meaning a deliverance of whatever the issue is, not in terms of being saved from heaven and hell. Let me just read that again. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to a deliverance. Not to be regretted. No more regret in that is what it actually says. But the sorrow or the grief of the world produces death. Now let me explain that last sentence. Some people respond to regret by trying to undo the consequences of their past choices or their past wrongs. Like a man may decide he's not married to the right woman, and so he divorces her and remarries someone else, and it causes disaster in the family. And he gets to the second wife and realizes he's not any better off than he was with the first wife. And so he may stop there or keep repeating that cycle. Or a couple may have sexual relations outside of marriage and they're in trouble because she gets pregnant, and so they try to undo it with an abortion. And so the abortion creates more guilt and more sorrow and grief and regret instead of easing what they thought would be easing the problem. And the problem is we can't undo the past, folks. We can't undo it. Somehow we get this idea we can. We can't. And we only make things worse if we try. Now, you may recall the Israelites tried to do this very same thing in the Old Testament with disastrous results. You may remember the story, and let me just summarize it. God frees them from slavery in Egypt, and he carries them out, and he brings them up to the border of the Promised Land. And before crossing the borders, the people send out 12 spies to go up into the land to check it out and bring a report back. And unfortunately, the report wasn't very good. Caleb and Joshua come back and say, you can't believe they had brought back grapes that they had to have on a pole so that they could hold it because it was so heavy. And they were talking about the produce and everything, and let's go up. And the other 10 said, no, there's giants in the land, so we can't do this. And they said this, the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Are they trusting God? No. They rebelled against God, refused to go in. As a result, God pronounced judgment against them and said, you know what? You are now going to wander for 40 years in the desert until you're all dead and your kids will go in to the Promised Land. So what did the people do? Well, they regretted their disobedience, so in disobedience, they decided to try to go up. And it was disaster because God said, stay out now. God wasn't with them any longer to go up. And the regret here becomes destructive, and we try to undo our bad choices illegitimately, maybe a good word. And the result is it only leads to more bad choices, more pain, and more regret yet. And that leads to hopelessness, not godly repentance. You know, what a difference. What difference does it make, some people say? I've already messed up. I've already destroyed God's plan for my life, so why even try? Man, I had a dad that I heard that from so many times. And he had had an invitation to become a missionary to join a ship called the Logos, and he was going to set up a printing department, and then he would teach some Bible classes and help with teaching the kids and that kind of thing. And he thought about it for a little while, and he told the people, no, I can't do this. And so they were discouraged, and they went on and found someone else, and they did that. And so my dad was so bummed at saying no. And so he used to tell me, now I live God's second best because I turned down God's first best. And what he had planned for me is now out of reach, and it's lost forever, and my sin or my fear that drove me to say no to God has cost me God's best. And this belief that he have is not found in the Bible. I just want you to know that. Nowhere does it say that in any place in Scripture. That God has only one plan for your life, and if you miss it, you've missed his best, because then we all missed it. Amen? That's not the God I know, and that's not the God you know. Because when you think about it, we all would have missed God's plan. Because we all, without using words out loud or whatever, have said no to God. You know what I'm saying? We don't mean to, and we don't mean to be mean, but there's times when we feel the push of God and we just don't do it. And my dad went to the grave believing that he really never could have been in God's best plan. And the good news is we don't have to go to the grave like that. We don't have to be paralyzed by regret, because we don't have to let it rob us of joy or hope, or that God has promised some kind of plan that we can't get to. He always has a plan for us. Do you know that? Always has a plan for us. And who hasn't screwed up? I mean, just stop and think about it with me for a minute. Let's take Peter. Peter's kind of the head of the disciples, and Jesus goes, and while he's being judged, what happens to him? Three times he denies he knows Christ. Okay, now, think about that for just a minute, okay? Because one of the passages says that Christ looked over at him while he's being beat and being judged. He looks over at Peter because he told Peter, you'll have done before the rooster crows, you'll have denied me three times. Well, how would you feel? You'd kind of feel like you missed God's best, right? Yeah. He probably felt like he could never recover. He'd never be usable to God again because he denied Christ. And he told Christ, I will not deny you. And the disciples said, we won't either. And they all did. We get to John 21, and it's in your bulletin. I don't think I have it on the slide. So when they had eaten breakfast, they're out on the beach on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Meaning the other disciples. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said to him, feed my lambs. Then he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, when we are screwed up, our walls kind of get high, don't we? We get very protective, he made these bad choices, and I can imagine that Peter's standing there in embarrassment that Christ is even there talking to him in the first place, feeling worthless because of his sin. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Then he said, "Tend my sheep." Now, I'm sure that Peter's still under regret. But listen to what Jesus does again. Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now I want you to think about that in your life. In spite of our sin, God still works with us. He still calls us. You know Peter's story. He ended up being the head of the church starting, and all the disciples followed him because he was so full of the Holy Spirit after that thing. Why? Because three times Jesus called him back. And I think he does the same to us. You know, I think back and I think, you know, my dad could have he was so sorry. He could have recontacted and said, you know what, I've been thinking about this. I'll change my mind. I'm going to go on the ship Logos and bring my family. But he didn't. And I want to show you how God works, okay? So instead, he worked hard and created a printing company, okay? And he taught Sunday school, and he served in the church. He was on the church board. He gave to missions like crazy. And I'm here to tell you, he did at home what he would have done on that ship. God got it out of him in a different way. The very same job. Peter and my dad are hardly unique. Moses, the man of God, called to lead Israel out of Egypt and into the land and was with them for 40 years. 40 years earlier, killed the man and had to run. Murdered him. David, Israel's greatest king, had an adulterous affair. Then, on top of it, had her husband killed and married her. And yet God restored him to the throne. Saul of Tarsus, we know him better as the Apostle Paul, had been a persecutor of Christians, throwing them in jail and having them executed. There's not hardly a main character in the Bible you can't find with sin dragging along. Thank God we see that, so we know we're loved too, amen? But God still uses all of them to accomplish his purpose. So what's the point? That sin isn't so bad? No. They all suffered the consequences of their sin. We see David suffering his consequences. We see Moses suffering his consequences. We see Peter suffering his consequences. We see my dad suffering his consequences. But even the worst sins do not alter the fact that God can use you and me. God uses sinners like you and me. That's his plan. That's his best plan. That he's going to use sinners to accomplish his purposes. So how do we get past this past that we have? Here's the prescription. Number one, we can't undo the past, so quit trying and accept it. We can only bend the knee and repent before God, amen? And just say, you know what, I was stupid. And I deserve the consequences, and God, just use me however you can use me. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to a deliverance, not to be regretted, or not to have more regret. Number two, let it go because God has. Leave your sins behind. You can't change them, you can't erase them. You have to accept God's complete forgiveness. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And then number three, set your heart to feed his sheep. Do you hear me this morning? Whether it's little or big, that's not the question. God's gifted us all difference. Feed my sheep. So here's what I want to do on this next, could you go to the next slide? I want you to put your name in there, and we're going to say this out loud. It's in yellow, okay? And we usually talk about what's in yellow, okay? I want you to put your name in, so I'm going to say, Steve, do you love me? We're going to talk Christ, and then you know that I love you, Lord, right? Okay, so you ready to put your name in there? Now, you got to yell it out, because everybody's going to be saying their name, and it depends on how much you want to serve God. Okay, so if you're really quiet, we know who you are. Okay, all right, okay. Ready? Are you ready? Okay. Steve, do you love me? You know that I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we don't feel like we deserve to feed your sheep. And we do get into those cycles of regret and those cycles of discouragement. And Lord, we look back and we see all the imperfection in our life, and so does everybody else. Lord, help us to let it go. Paul says he leaves it behind and stretches forward. Lord, help us to leave our sin behind. You've forgiven it. You've cast it as far as the east is from the west. So, Lord, help us to drop it and let it go and get on with it. And help us to feed your sheep. Help us to serve one another, love one another, and do whatever ministry you are called us to do. While your heads are bowed, maybe you came this morning and you don't have a relationship with God and you're looking for one. Let me just explain a few things to you. God says that for all have sinned and fallen short of his standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 10:9, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you today, it's very easy to be saved. It just means confessing Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and then believing that he raised from the dead. So I'm going to say a little prayer, and you just say it along with me if you are asking Christ to come in your heart. And it goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that you rose from the dead, just as the Bible said, and that you rose from the dead for me. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. May I be able to feed the sheep as well. While your heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just raise your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we just thank you. Thank you. We just thank you so much that you've made it easy for us to enter into your family and come to know you in a personal way. And Father, I just pray that you be with those that raise their hand too, that you will especially work in their hearts and minds. And Lord, help us to be available to them. Lord, we're available if they want to seek us out. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. And Lord, can we take this thought, leaving our sin behind and feeding the sheep into 2015, and may we get up and serve you, not in regret or in embarrassment or in sorrow or any other thing, but in freshness of mind that there's a prize out there, the view set before us. May we run after it throughout our life, all the way to our very last breath. And Lord, may you be glorified as we enter heaven, Lord. May we be able to, you be able to say to us, wow, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.